So I want to greet all of you already affectionately. I think we are ready, no? This will be our last Gora meditation evening before we go to Vrindavan. You know, the land you see here on the backdrop of the deities, there's Govardhan Hill, part of the sacred mountain of Giriraj Govardhan in Vrindavan, and we will actually go there. The places which we worship here in the West will be the places where we walk, where we talk with people, where we eat, where we sleep, where we negotiate with the mosquitoes and the heat and all this. It will be a pilgrimage for perhaps 2 months. So I'm very happy to see some of our Berlin devotees and of course some of the devotees of this community here for this Gora meditation evening. I'm also greeting all of those in the internet who are watching it either now or in eternity. I once heard whatever you put on the internet is always there, so welcome to the always there. Just recently someone sent me a very important spiritual classic which I had read when I was a young person. It was written by the Spanish mystic Teresa of Avila, and it is known as the Interior Castle. Thank you very much. Thank you. So just like we are here in a small little castle in East Germany, Teresa of Avila also speaks of a castle, but different from the buildings which we visit in this world, the outside castles, her castle is a castle that can be found in the heart. It is a big castle which has at least 7 big rooms or apartments. And as you enter this castle, you will go, she says, through all these 7 rooms, or better, 6 rooms, before you come to the last room, which only opens from the inside. It's the room where the Lord, where God, the Almighty, ever-present, supreme, lives. So a few days ago I received a gift of the Interior Castle, a summary, and I thought that it's very interesting for us to see Teresa's journey and recognize perhaps in some parts of her journey our own journey. Because what I'm going to share with you in the main part of our Gora meditation will be something about the last room, the room where you meet God. So before you do this, before you meet this Almighty Presence, you have to go through a few stations, and you will very quickly discover that the stations which the mystics across the traditions in the world find are similar stations which you have to go. Please don't make the mistake that you think just by entering a movement you meet God. No. You have to make a very specific journey, a journey through the heart that is shared by all those serious people who look for spiritual life. So I will start here. I will do this because I have a few guests who might come from another tradition, not the Gaudiya tradition, so it will help them to move deep into our own tradition, because you will see it has the same points. And I'm also talking about this for the lazy Hare Krishnas who are perhaps stagnating on one part of the journey and not moving forward. So let us start with the invocation. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Supreme is different for everyone, and it is always full of surprises. However, we can see that there are some general experiences, some general stations which are the same for everyone, and these are pointed out by the great masters in the various tradition. And Teresa of Avila says that the path inside into the interior castle, a place in the heart, starts with sincere prayer. Prayer can be the turning point when a person who is accustomed to only look outside for the values of our materialistic society, you know, wealth, recognition, validation from outside, popularity, likes, and so on. When a person gets ready on the spiritual path, he comes to a turning point where he turns away from these material myths, these dreams, and he turns to the Supreme Lord. And usually the entrance gate is prayer. It's a small entrance gate. You might overlook it. You might not see it. But prayer means you understand I can't do it on my own. I need supreme help. Now, as you enter this castle through the small door, this divine castle which you go into by the prayer road, you will come to a room which is quite surprising. It's a room where you meet your inner demons, the qualities which are not so nice, the qualities which you would like would not be there, but still they are there. And as you say goodbye to them, to these bad qualities, you enter into the third room. First, prayer, then comes meeting and facing your own inner demons, if you so want, and saying no to them, I don't want to be your slave any longer. Then you come to the last, to the third door, where you find a mistake or a tendency that is really having, which have, so to say, made big trouble to many on the spiritual path. It is that you see mistakes in others. This person is not like I would like to have him. The world is not like I would like to have it. And in Christian terminology, you see the splinter in someone else's eye while you overlook the big log, the Balken in Deutsch, in your own eye. In our terminology, it's called simply Vaishnava Apparat. We are carrying bad feelings towards other devotees in our hearts, and that is marked in as a great. You need to leave that room behind you if you want to come to the fourth room. The fourth room is very, very interesting. It is in the words of Teresa, your own effort and the mercy of the Lord. In our language, it is Svashesta Bhakti, that is Bhakti which is based on your own efforts, and then it is Bhakti which is given by Kripa, no, which is a gift from above. The way Teresa says it, not in this work, I will go to another of her work, is when you make your own efforts, it's like going to a well of water, taking buckets out, and then irrigating the garden with its various plants. Apple trees, pears trees, nut trees, melons, mangoes, and so on. Your own effort is you go haul up a bucket and then flood a little. Oh, it's very tiring. The path of grace, which is very much the path of bhakti, is different. It's when a rainfall comes from above for 20 hours and drenches the garden so that all the plants effortlessly will grow and bear fruit. Have you also noticed that when you make efforts in your spiritual path, you can only go so far and then that's all. But when the mercy comes down, at that time, impossible is really a word which you can not find in the word of a devotee. That word, impossible, is not there, because by divine grace, everything is possible. So that was the fourth room. Now the fifth room comes. It is, Teresa gets now very poetic. It's when you can realize your full potential. In other words, when a caterpillar, in Deutsch eine Raupe, can turn into a beautiful butterfly. It happens when you have gone through the road of prayer, when you have been willing to face your inner demons and leave them behind, when you even stop criticizing others and finding where you have to work in your own life. That's very important. When you have done your sadhana, your spiritual practice with effort, but then the mercy comes, and then you who were previously so fallen, so ordinary, just a normal human being, Mr. Ordinary, no? You turn into a beautiful butterfly. Whoa. By the grace. Then you meet someone who wears the face of God. In her terminology, it's Jesus. In our terminology, it's the enlightened spiritual master. He carries God with him. And then you stand before the seventh door, the door in which the Lord resides. I would say Krishna Loka, Vaikuntha Loka, the realm without any fear, the blissful realm of the Lord. If he wants, and whenever he wants, he will open that door from inside, and then you come out. In other words, it's not like an escape room where you are clever and then at one stage, pang, 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 the door to the freedom called Berlin opens. No, this door can only be, the door where the Lord lives can only be opened by him alone, not by your intelligence. So this is a little bit the path which I feel is very inspiring. I must say, I sometimes like to hear from other traditions like Bhaktivinoda Thakur did. Every morning from 7:30 to, one moment, 9 o'clock, he would read these ideas from the spiritual ideas of other traditions because he felt it would help him to see the treasures in his own tradition by looking with a new perspective. Krishna. So, Krishna, the last secrets of spiritual life happen only by revelation. That's the idea which we can take. Krishna reveals himself in the Bhagavad Gita, and he invites each single person of us to enter into a personal loving relationship with him. And he promises that anyone who follows his invitation and enters a personal or loving relationship with him will be taken care of him in all ways. This means spiritual, his spiritual progress will be taken care of by the Lord. He will give his kripa, but he will also take care of them in material ways. I visited last, 2 days before, my local bank, you know, which is my online begging bowl where people give some donations if they want. There's not much on it, but and we had to discuss some bank related issue. It could be solved very nicely, and then the bank lady asked me, so what is your steady income? I said, I don't know. Yeah, but do you get pension? You know, they noted my calendar age is 70 years. They don't know that I'm really only 40 years. You know, so do you get a pension? And I said, pension? No, I have never thought about this. So then the devotee who was with me said, you know, he's a little different. He has rich parents, meaning Krishna. You know? and he's an author and a little different, you know. But he's a good man. So I noticed at that time, yes, we are in the Versorgungssystem. We spiritual people are cared for by Krishna, who promises to do this in the Gita, as you all know. So this invitation to enter a personal relationship with the Lord, that is a standing invitation to all living beings. Now, how to follow up on this invitation, in other words, what to do on your spiritual path, is very nicely taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna, so to say, who understands they don't get it, and who appears in this world in order to show by practical example the path of surrender. I want to share with you a pastime of Chaitanya that you just get to understand a little bit how he is to enter into this meditation, which we will do. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled in South India, he met a very simple man who was trying to read the Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit, the language of the scholars, and who was doing a terrible job. He mispronounced and mispronounced and mispronounced like anything. And many people stood around him laughing, ridiculing him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, his eyes were filled with tears, this simple man's, and asked, "Why are you crying?" "I'm trying to chant Krishna's words as he has spoken them in the Gita. My guru told me so, but I must say I cannot understand them. It's Sanskrit. But as I chant these words, I see the beautiful image of Krishna appearing in my heart. He's so Krishna, who's so kind to his friend, that he has taken the reins, zügel, of the chariot and drives Arjuna over the battlefield. This image fills my mind and I simply cannot think of anything else." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moved, and he stepped forward and embraced him and told him into his ear, "You are the only one who understands the Bhagavad Gita, because the Lord is only opening," this is what I'm now saying, "the Lord only opens the door to his world when he sees that the one who knocks before the door does so with a heart filled with love." The man cried in astonishment, for before him he saw the very same Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya, whom he daily worshipped. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming to the world and teaching us the simple road of tears, the simple road of love, loving emotions, as the safe way to the door of the Lord, who then will respond to us also with love and opens the door. This is the idea of bhakti. So after having given you this as an introduction, I want to sing a verse for you, which enters where we enter now into this last apartment. From the Goswami has to come. Krishna Kena Nanina Nina. Yastri shotasi sayam apta nivahai snadva pradipalibi pushpadyaisa samachita kalitasat patambaras raktada vishnostat samayachanam chakritavan dipali bistai samam buktvanani suvita kamapitata tamgoramatyemyaham. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because we change three times the rhythm, we need to do it one more time. Everyone, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. This was our entry verse into this ultimate playground of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world. This is for advanced searchers like you, so I will read it to you. At dusk, dusk means sunset, and our presentation today is called the Sunset Pastimes. At dusk, the Lord bathes with his dear friends in the river called Ganga, who flows in the three worlds. They devotedly worship the Ganges by offering ghee lamps, flowers, and other articles. Afterwards, the Lord puts on fresh silken cloths and is adorned with flower garlands and other decorations. Then he worships Lord Vishnu by performing the evening aratik ceremony, offering ghee lamps and other articles. Afterwards, he and his friends partake of the foodstuffs and betel nuts that were offered to Lord Vishnu. I thus meditate on the daily pastimes of Chaitanya. So once again, I hope you are still with me. We are in the seventh apartment. We have knocked. The door is opening. And what do you think is happening in the world of God? Is he just sitting on a throne? Don't worry, he will sit two times on a throne today. But is that all he does? No, there's an ocean of rasa going on. An ecstatic world with the waves of great, great spiritual emotions. And you will hear what they are. So let me unpack this verse a little. So, and then in the end we will meditate about it. You will see something wonderful might happen to you. So, the Lord Chaitanya has been all day out, but now the sun is setting. And as the sun is setting, he quickens his steps together with his devotees, who are all colorfully dressed. He is going to the banks of the Ganga. He quickly removes all his cloth and he enters with a gamsha, you know, with a bathing cloth around his hip, the Ganga. There in the Ganga, he does something which we also have adopted in this world behavior. He offers a gilemb in circles. This is what all those who go and take a sacred bath do. They first offer worship to the sacred water by offering a gilemb. And he offers flowers and other articles, and afterwards he comes out, his beautiful golden body is very tall, with a beautiful blackish hair, is dripping with Ganga water, and a male servant comes and rinses his water with scented. Scented means fragrant water, really fragrant. It's perfumed with things like aguru, it's a substance, and so on. And another servant steps forward and combs his hair, and then takes all the hair up like this, and maybe not all the hair, some of the hair from here, and then makes a top knot. Today I don't see any top knot. Yeah, here is one. You are following tradition. Very beautiful, actually. We have not, it's a very beautiful way to do, no? So Mahaprabhu also has a, he has more a bun. You have made it a little bit more volcanic explosive, but it's also very appropriate. It's very, very wonderful. It is, the idea is very spiritual. Then his body is covered with fine white cloth. Ornaments are put around him. He was very decorated. And one servant comes forward with a golden pitcher like this, and a kanne, and washes his feet because they are a little bit sandy from the banks of the Ganga. And then the Lord goes home. He is fully bathed, so he immediately goes inside the home temple of Lord Vishnu. His wife, her name? Vishnupriya, has prepared a big ghee lamp with different, you know, lamps. And on Sachi's order, brings it into the temple. And there, Lord Chaitanya takes the big ghee lamp and offers him an arati with the ghee lamp. The Lord there is a Vishnu deity. Starting from the 18th of October, we will enter the sacred month of Kartik. And my dear everyone, that's the time when there is great benefit if you offer every day a light to the Lord. It is said by the simple action which even a poor man can do, you know, lighting a little ghee lamp, and offering it, you will, when you leave this world, go into the spiritual world and become a personal associate of the Lord who offers a direct service. I really encourage you to prepare already your home so that there are 31 lamps, or if you are not so well planned, at least two or three, but you can always step up afterwards, no? And then do this. It's a unique opportunity. So Mahaprabhu sits before the deity and offers this huge artic lamp to Lord Vishnu. Then he offers him gifts and a full meal. Afterwards, after some time, he leaves the temple, and after some time returns. When the Lord has eaten his meal, then he offers some archman to his hands and puts the Lord to rest. Now, after worshipping the Lord, he himself feels free to sit on the lion throne. It It's a beautiful throne made of gold, and there items from the offerings which was earlier done in the temple are brought to Chaitanya. There are many of his servants around him. They have banana leaves before them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inviting them with shouting, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol!" It's a sound religion, you know. There's a lot of chanting going on always for everything. He invites them to take their meals, and then Lord Chaitanya, after finishing the meal, something happens in his mind. By the way, in the spiritual world, always something happens in the mind. It is the world of bhava. Bhava means loving emotions, which there are many. So the whole day is in the spiritual world is filled with loving emotions. The particular emotion or movement in Mahaprabhu's mind is that he thinks of the house of one special devotee. Who of you could intuit? Wer hat eine Intuition? Shivas Thakur, yes. Shivas Thakur, one of his greatest devotees, who has a beautiful home. You know, there are a few houses, and then there is an inner courtyard in the house. No? That's a Innenhof, we say. And there, in that inner courtyard, something very special takes place. The ecstatic chanting or kirtan of the devotees. They will, in the beginning, they chanted only for a few hours, but after some time they chant throughout the whole night, you know. They sing there. It's, let me look here. The first Sankirtan event took place in Shivas Thakur's house, and the Lord spent most of his time when he was away from home in this house of Shivas Thakur. It's this house which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes is the gate to the spiritual world. How is this so? Well, in this age of Kali, the doors to the spiritual world will swing wide open when the devotees absorb their mind in Sankirtan, where they sing together the names of the Lord. But this happens not when they sing mechanically, or they sing ritually, or they think like, okay, this is what we do, we are after all this type of people, only when we sing we get prasadam and so on. No, the doors to the spiritual world swing open when we chant it's called Sneha Samyukta Nam, the name that is connected to love, lovingly. Then the doors to the spiritual world swing wide open. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us how to do it. And there was one event which took place, which I think will make you think today in the evening. You will have to listen quite intently to catch the subtleties of this. There was one kirtan, they had all been singing, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu interrupted the singing and said, "I don't feel the joy today which I always feel. Some misfortune must have fallen into this house." So some of the members of the kirtans come and say, "My lord, the son of Shrivas Thakur has just died. He has left the body an hour ago. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turns to Shrivas Thakur and says, "Why didn't you tell me?" So there was a story before the story. Shrivas Thakur felt he was the, and his family were the most fortunate people, because the Lord himself danced every evening in their house. Imagine, God dances every evening in your apartment in Präsidentenstraße 93A. You know, that's something. You know, that's not ordinary. And when his son had died, someone came to inform him, and he went to the place in the house where this, where his wife and the neighbor ladies were, and he saw them crying. So Shrivas Thakur had said to them at this time, "Why do you cry? If you keep on crying like this, I will drown myself in the Ganga, because you will disturb the kirtan of the Lord. Can't you see that this is the most auspicious circumstance which anyone could ever wish? We all have to die. He died when the Lord was personally there and spread his auspicious kirtan into every single room of the house. It was loud kirtan, you know." And then his wife said, and continued to cry. Oh, she's a mother, silently. And now Shrivas Thakur stood before the Lord, and the Lord looked at him and said, "Why didn't you tell me?" Shrivas Thakur said, "My Lord, in your presence there is no sorrow. Where there is light, darkness cannot stand. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I agree with you, but I must talk to your wife." So he went to the wife. She was, you can imagine, trying to not cry out loud, "A Bengali mother. If, do you know what a Bengali mother is? He is affection, she is affection to her son multiplied 1,000 times, you know." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at the son and asked him, "Why have you left your father's and your mother's house?" So the body, you know, it was dead. It went up like this. Don't worry, it was not spooky. He just sat up like this and he said, "My Lord, I have stayed in this house for the time which you gave me. This time has now ended for me, and now, with your permission, I will continue. But give me one blessing, that wherever I am, in whatever circumstance I am, I should not forget your lotus feet, but should cling or hold tight to your lotus feet." So the mother saw this, Shrivas Thakur saw it, everyone saw it. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Tatastu, may it be as you wish." The son left. All those who saw this were very, very convinced of that there is no death. We only stay for some time, allotted time in the body where we are, but then we go. and they were very enlightened by this. Lord Chaitanya, to show the love for the boy and to show the love for this house, took the dead body of the son down to the Ganga. And as he was bathing the body, Mother Ganga came in her visible form and also bathed the Lord. This is a bathe, not the Lord, the boy. This is something which took place at this house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivas Thakur, you have given an example of real unmixed bhakti. You had faith in me and my mercy, even when your boy left the body. By this you have given a great example to all the devotees of the world. Maybe 2 weeks ago, I was in the Ganesh temple in Berlin. I was invited. There was a celebration for the 150th birthday of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And all the different members from the different maths who could come, Gaudiya Math, this Vaishnava organization, that Vaishnava organization, they came to celebrate the founder of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there was also Krishna Chetra Maharaj, whom some of you know there. And he gave an interesting talk. He said that what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur brought is different from other Gauranga Bhakti, Bhakti to Lord Chaitanya. And he said that once there was a very well-posted Bhakta in Dhaka, that's the capital town of Shumit, and Mitu in Bangladesh. There was a great famous person, I think he was a lawyer or a minister. He had a daughter who was dying, and he, this minister, was praying to Lord Chaitanya, save my daughter from death. And then the daughter died, and he stopped worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being disappointed that his prayers were not answered. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we are not worshipping his Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we worship the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Srivas Thakur, no? Who puts the Lord and his reason, his plan first, and the human being and his reason and his plan on the second place, under the lotus feet of the Lord. That's a different concept. No? So he said this, Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj said this. So Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Srivas Thakur, his really first and foremost bhakta in the Chaitanya Leela. When he walked through the town of Navadvip, there was everywhere singing, there were dancing in the houses, there were artiks going on, it was sunset. Brilliant lamps were lining the road on the left side and the right side. Can you imagine the atmosphere in Navadvip? So much kirtan going on, lights left and right, artik, just a city of God, you could say. And Mahaprabhu goes, and it is said he walked on the path like a maddened lion. A lion is strong, but when he is maddened, he is super strong. So Mahaprabhu's strength was in love. He was the love lion, so to say. And Shiva's Thakur saw his Lord approaching from the distance. He was so happy, in great ecstasy. He called his family member. They all stood before the property. And when Mahaprabhu came closer, they were bowing down before his feet. They were washing his feet. They took him and said, "Please, you may come now." And they brought him into the interior courtyard of Shiva Sangam, and there was a golden throne again, a lion throne. There are a lot of lion thrones. Why lion thrones? Well, where it seats, they look like lions, you know, the Löwenpranken, lion, whatever, palms, yes. And it stands like this, and then there are lions looking from here, where the bolsters are, and it is very nicely decorated. A lion throne is only given to either a king or the most worshipable personality. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down on this lion throne, and and here we end, because we have only talked about the periods from 6 o'clock to 8:25. What happens from 8:25 to that is something that is reserved for the next Gora meditation evening. We will not talk about it here. We will only say one word: ecstasy. Prabhupada, our spiritual, the founder of this movement, and my own spiritual master, he said in 1974, "I have given you now everything, but I'm asking myself if you have understood, because you have not yet become mad for Krishna." When we hear in our Western civilization this word, we need to replace it with another word, the way it is intended. You have not yet become filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. This is the purpose of all spiritual movements. Remember, the last door will open only from inside when the Lord sees your quality of love. Progress in Krishna consciousness means progress in the quality of love. And that you have to watch out. It doesn't mean progress. Progress doesn't mean progress in positions. It doesn't mean progress in likes on Facebook. It doesn't mean progress in wealth and money. It means progress in love. Yes, you may make you may settle your your life. You may have to have some financial support. Yes, that is not against this. We are not this idea. No. But it should support you, whatever you do, and not become an obstacle for your ultimate project, that is to fall in love with God. Mm-hmm. So what we will do at the end, I will first look here. Oh yeah, we are absolutely in time. This is totally untypical. I think it is because we are preparing for the next class. Then I don't know if we will be in time. It will be, it will describe the ecstasy of the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will now put you a little in a meditative situation. One moment. Lord Kirtan. Thank you. your son. Fine. We are ready. We have even opened our window here. If on the internet, people, you need fresh air. If you, this is a good time to open your windows. I thought, as we do all this at the end of this, to enter what we have just heard in a different way than through hearing. There are, as you well know, different roads that bring you to a spiritual experience. One is hearing. We think this is the main road, because even a person who is deeply, fastly asleep and doesn't notice a thing around him can be awakened by sound. That's why we have alarm clocks and not alarm visuals, you know, when someone is asleep. So sound penetrates and reaches us, and it's very important. But if our mind is not in the spiritual realm, then sound will work only after a long, long time. If you want to have a quicker spiritual experience, you need to do what is called mana sangharana, collect the mind from its different occupations and focus and concentrate it. And this we will try now. Are you ready? Rakesh sends his last email or WhatsApp message. No problem. You will come out of meditation. Don't worry. So, okay. I request you to just look around a little bit. Relax your body a little. From sitting, you might have become a little stiff. Maybe bring a little circulation to your arms by moving your hands. Many things. I see. I will need a mridanga player. Yes. When I give you the sound, and please don't meditate, but look, no. I do this in my meditation, and my mridanga player, whom I need in a certain part, is just totally in samadhi or is snoring away, you know. So this shouldn't happen today. You're there. Okay, so we will start by sitting tall. Gadadha, you might. No, you are all right. You're fine. You can take the backrest as a help. And we will quickly do something which some people can't do, I know. But those who are still young, please bring your awareness to your feet and feel the aliveness in your feet. If you can't feel anything, just wiggle or move your toes, you will feel something, no? Then bring your attention to your knees, to your hip, and relax that whole part from the toes to your hips. I can feel in the atmosphere some of you are very disconnected from their physical existence. It's not good to do this now. You please relax your legs. Let them just fall. I sense some of you are unwilling because you're not accustomed to do it, but I promise you, if you explore new areas, you will make new experiences. Go to the back of your the lower back and the upper back. Relax. Belly and chest. Feel them, belly, chest, and let go. Relax. Arms down to your hands. Relax. Neck, back of your head, forehead, forehead, stirn. Relax. Now bring your attention to your nostrils, nose, and start to breathe in and out in a deeper way than you usually do. Stay with your breath when it goes in. Aware, conscious that you breathe in. And each time you breathe out, stay with your breath, walk with your breath. Deep in and out breathing. When your thoughts wander, which they will, just bring them back to your in and outgoing breath. Life has become simple now. You're only breathing. By the way, I forgot to say, when it's natural that some of you will cough because you're relaxing your nerve systems. It's a different wiring, so to say. Continue to breathe in and out. Try to bring your mind to your breath. Now, as you settle into a place of inner calm, inner stillness, inner peace, follow the Lord activity. It's evening time, the sun is setting. Perhaps you see the sun setting and the sky turning red. The Lord bathes with his dear friends in the river Ganges, who flows in the three worlds. All of them, led by Chaitanya, worship the Ganges by offering ghee lamps. Flowers and other articles. Afterwards, the Lord puts on fresh silken cloths and is decorated with flower garlands and other decorations. Then he goes home to the home temple and worships Lord Vishnu by performing the evening Aratik ceremony. Where he offers ghee lamps and other articles. Afterwards, he and his friends partake of the foodstuffs and betel nuts. That were offered to Lord Vishnu. And then he goes to the house of Srivastakur. And sits down on the lion throne. I thus meditate on the daily pastimes of Lord Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama,
everybody please share one more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
see on the lion throne the beautiful form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. See his perfectly shaped eyes, which look like the petals of a lotus flower. Towards the nose a little bit and then extending. His black curlish hair. His chest. Yellowish pitambara cloth. Dhoti and a smile on his lips full of mercy and compassion. Yourself the required time to come back to room awareness. I thank you very much for participating. Two things. One is for the online audience. We will close our session here, but you are welcome to stay in touch. The moment we arrive in Vrindavan, not the very moment, but the moment when Kartik starts, there will be Kartik inspirations online, which you can follow, that will keep you enlivened, hopefully, for the month of Kartik, telling you what to do. And stay in contact, and Haribo, we will end this now.